Thank you so much. I just want to take the time to first acknowledge the other co-authors on this presentation, Elizabeth Bancroft, Christopher Finney, Pamela Mahan, and Sheila Pilewski. So there's no relationships to disclose. Learning areas, you guys may not necessarily care about this. We had to fill this out as part of the APHA process. And learning objectives, so describe the community approach to vaccination in Cuba, compare the differences in the Cuban versus U.S. vaccination schedule, and then identify elements of the Cuban vaccination program that may have implications for U.S. vaccination policy. So I would say most of you in this room know about Cuba. It's an island nation located to the southeast of the United States of America off the coast of Florida. One of the little bit of background on the this presentation, we had a chance to go as part of an official delegation through APHA, and we went last November after the annual conference in Denver. One of the places we visited was Finley Institute. Finley Institute is one of the biotech companies there in Cuba, which is a huge part of their economy in Cuba. A little bit more background. So Cuba really relies on their national health system as they implement different strategies to improve the health outcomes of people in Cuba. The Cuban approach to medicine is very much a public and preventative focus. And so part of that they do so well from what we saw when we were there is their comprehensive vaccination program. And I'll discuss that a little bit more in detail later in the presentation. But the vaccination was developed out of a need, a strong need. In the late 1980s, there was a huge outbreak of meningococcal B, and they had to do something about this. Based on the trade embargo, they could not get vaccinations from the U.S. And this was about the time that they were struggling with losing part of a huge part of their economy from the Soviet bloc as it was in the process of dissolving at that point, which eventually fell in the early 90s. So this was a huge need for them, and they used old Soviet technologies to develop their vaccination program. And when they did that, they did this with little resource. And like I said, they did this because they needed the meningococcal B vaccine. In a very short time, they were able to research, develop, produce, and then do human testing and distribution for this vaccine. Because that was such a huge success, the government started a large initiative to develop further vaccines. So part of the challenge that Cuba faced as they were doing this is, like I said, the U.S. is U.S. is their closest non-island neighbor, and the trade embargo significantly hindered their ability to get what they needed to manufacture the vaccines. As they were moving forward with this, they had to be resourceful in doing that. So, as I mentioned earlier, we visited Cuba in November of 2010, and we really wanted to focus on how Cuba was able to develop and produce their vaccines, and how their community approach to vaccine delivery influences their vaccination outcomes. So we had a chance to talk with employees from the Finley Institute, which are part of the Ministry of Public Health there in Cuba. The Finley Institute is a modern research and development facility, part of the biotech in Cuba. Some of their technologies are very state-of-the-art and some are very dated. Finley Institute is one of their very modern research facilities that they have there. We had a chance to attend a presentation from their scientists at the Finley Institute and their employees, and then we had a chance to engage in dialogue with them. So this was really interesting as we were learning their perspective on their vaccination program. So what we found is that what they do is really a community-based approach to administering vaccines. They go from door to door to deliver vaccines, They check vaccination status when they go to the dentist, when they go to the family doctor, when they go to the Policlinica, which is like a multi-specialty clinic here in the U.S. Schools check vaccination status. When you look at vaccines here in the U.S., it's a very decentralized approach, and someone that received a vaccination through the public health clinic, that information may not get reported to their family doctor, or vice versa. So you have people that may miss doses of vaccinations, or they may receive duplication of vaccinations. In the U.S., in Cuba, they report all their vaccinations to a centralized system so that they know who has what vaccine and who needs this dose, or what the next vaccine they should get is. Their compliance with their vaccination schedule surpasses that at the U.S., and I'll show you a graph on that in just a second. And then in the U.S., unfortunately, there's a negative stigma associated with vaccines that we see as a barrier to vaccination compliance, and they don't have that in Cuba. So their vaccination program structure is comprehensive. It is door-to-door, and like I said, it's administered through the family doctor, the policlinico, their schools focus on vaccination compliance and administration, and this strong community emphasis on the importance of vaccination is really what they credit to the success of their vaccination program. I apologize for this grainy copy of the Cuban vaccination schedule, but you'll see it's pretty similar to the U.S.'s vaccination schedule. There's multiple doses for the MMR, you have the HIV, the HIV, the meningococcal B and C. These are some pictures from the Finley Institute with their technology. And some of the workers there. Some biotechnology facts about Cuba. There's over 300 facilities in Cuba. As I mentioned, they range from small to large with some dated technology and then some state-of-the-art technology. Cuba has done research and development internally and in collaboration with other countries. Cuba exports more vaccines than any other Latin American country. I bet you did not know that. I did not before I went. They are also part of the technology transfer project, and they set up labs in other countries like India, parts of China, just different parts of the world. And currently they're working with U.S. on a cancer vaccination, a company in California. Vaccines are distributed widely that are manufactured in Cuba, with the exception of U.S. and Europe, which could potentially change if the development of the cancer vaccination is successful. They produce, this is what the Finley Institute produces. Other biotechnology facilities in Cuba produce different vaccines, but Finley produces meningococcal B and C. They also produce an A and C combination. The trivalent leptospirosis, typhoid, diphtheria, and tetanus, and then they produce the diphtheria, tetanus, and pertussis, and then also just the singular tetanus toxoid. So their accomplishments are great, considering the relatively short span of time for their vaccination program. Their focus, as they're being more successful with their vaccinations, and they have more that they're not needing to fulfill internally within Cuba, they're looking towards what other countries need, developing countries. What do they need? What do parts of Africa need? And they're trying to fulfill that need. They do vaccinate their children against 13 diseases, and this is done with a 100% compliance rate, nearly 100%. So the community approach is really, like I mentioned earlier, it's that door-to-door approach, and it's a community approach. So their vaccination schedule is not seen as more of a recommendation. It's seen as required for the good of the community. It does allow for missed doses, and these are some results. So under 5 mortality is better than in the U.S., and part of this can be attributed to their immunization rate. You can see For the measles, 96% of Cubans are immunized versus 92% in the U.S., and then 99% compliance with the Cuban vaccination. And in the U.S., we have 28% that are non-compliant. They do this while spending 7% of their GDP on healthcare, whereas the U.S. spends 15%. So policy implications would be cost for the U.S. How can we deliver our vaccination schedule more cost-effectively? Is there a more effective delivery system that we could use, maybe mirroring some of the approaches that they do in Cuba, which would be a community-based approach and additional research money allocation? So if you have any questions, feel free to contact me, and that's going to end my presentation.